There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th, and every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 615. It's the 19th of October, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Tony Gilby, CEO and Managing Director of Talou Energy, TLOU, answering private investor questions. I do hold stock in Talou and I see a lot of potential there. Essentially, when I first interviewed them several months back, Colin, the finance director, came on, and I applied my acronym, which is CASH. C stands for cash. They have that. They've just raised. A, assets. Check it out. 3.3 TCF. S, shareholders. Very chunky shareholder register. And H, head honcho. And Tony there, his track record, he's done pretty much what he's doing here in Botswana twice before, and he's taken his sub 20 million market cap companies, two of them, and sold them for over a billion. One of them, multiples of billions. One was 1.2 billion, the other was like 3 or 4 billion. And so he's doing again in Botswana what he's done before. And it's very much like Tony Manini. He says, you know, we've done this before and we're doing it again, you know, and hopefully creating, you know, massive value for shareholders. So I think at the moment, the share price is it had a bit of weakness last few days. And I think now is the ideal time to do some research. If you're not in this company, put it on your watch list. Do some research about the company, just the area they're in, Tony's track record. And I think, you know what? It's a compelling story. Really is. And I think, you know, you'd be silly not to do some research on this company. That's Talou Energy. Also on the podcast, another company actually I hold stock in. And this hasn't been arranged. It's not a coincidence. But it's Prospects Oil and Gas. Ed Dawson, CEO and Managing Director, talks about today's news. The government approval received for the onshore Poland well. It's going ahead on the November the 7th, I think it is. Yeah. And so it's a very busy few months ahead for them. Plus, I've also got today the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. It's all changed there. Brand new number one. I've got the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. And I'll give you a clue. One of my guests feature in that list, quite highly in that list. And also, today's suggested one for your watch list has been submitted by the fifth wise monkey. Yeah, and the company is Forbidden Technologies, FBT is ticker, and I'll read out the reason why the fifth wise monkey reckons you should put Forbidden Technologies on your watch list in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, for the second time I'm glad to say, it's Tony Gilby, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of Talou Energy, at TLOU is ticker. Good morning, or I suppose good afternoon where you are, Tony, is it?
Well, good morning to you, Justin. We'll take your time frame as the one we're working in. Good morning.
Yeah, okay. Well, Tony, listen, I've got to say, for the interest of transparency, I do hold stock in Talou. Good reasons for that, but I'm sure we'll discuss why I hold stock. Well, not why I hold stock, but the reasons behind that. But for people who are not aware of your company, Tony, could you give a sort of summary as to what Talou is all about, please?
Yes, indeed. Justin, we're based in our projects in Botswana in Africa, one of the leading, if not the leading, countries to do business in Africa. They're desperately short of electrical energy, as is the majority of southern Africa, the southern African region. And we have CBM gas properties there, and we're the most advanced company in Botswana.
Excellent stuff. And the reason why you're in Botswana, I mean, like you said, you've had several successes doing this, you know, coal-to-bed methane projects in Australia. And after Australia, you pretty much scoured the globe, didn't you, looking for the right area, not just, you know, geographically, you know, as in having the formations to support gas, but also politically and everything. Is that the case?
Absolutely, Justin. We looked all around the world, the US, Europe. Europe got close, but it was lacking a couple of key ingredients. Africa got even closer, and then Botswana was the top of the list based on not only the geological formations there that are very conducive for the development of coal-bed methane gas to power, but also the stable political situation and the advanced socio-economic nature of the country.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got some questions from private investors. And the first one, we'll probably need to explain what this is you know, relevant to the RNS released. But the first question is, the market was unimpressed with the 1P and 2P reserves. Can you explain why they should be excited and how you expect Lesedi's wells to complement and add to the reserves? So this was on the 12th of October, you announced independent gas reserve certification, initial certification there. So can you go through that and explain the, and answer to the question as well, please, Tony, if you could?
Certainly, Justin. The position of getting reserves is very, very important for a gas company or an oil company for that matter. It's relatively straightforward to get contingent resources, but the one with the most significant economic implication, positive implication, are the reserves category. By having reserves, it effectively, by definition, means that your project is considered by the independent expert who does the numbers as the project is considered to be economically feasible. Now, so contingent resources, they're really just saying, the independent expert is saying that you have the gas in the ground or the oil in the ground, in our case, the gas in the coal. And with all the work we've done over the years, we're able to prove up some very large numbers there. But the key significance of the reserve is that it has an overlay of commerciality to it, and it's completely independent, of course. And our reserves are the very first in the entire country of Botswana. And indeed, as far as I'm aware, they are the only coal-bed methane gas reserves in all of southern Africa. So, of course, the first reserve booking is always going to be the most difficult. It'll be the ones that will, the one that the reserve certifier will be the most cautious with, because it's the first not only for us but for the entire country. And therefore, the significance of being able to establish reserves and then announce that cannot be underestimated. And I think that is an absolutely major milestone for the company, and particularly once combined with the early announcement that we made in relation to achieving environmental sign-off by the government, means we're in a very, very strong position to now start developing our project and turning the gas into cash flow for the benefit of the shareholders. So it's not so much the size of the reserves for your first booking. Of course, the bigger the better, but it's not so much the size of those reserves. It's a matter that you've actually got reserves. And then it's a relatively straightforward process from then on as well, I might add, to increase those numbers with more work on the ground, longer periods of gas flow. It's all about lowering the risk, the perceived risk from the perception of the independent certifier, Justin.
Yeah. So essentially, this is, like I said, people should read up, and I have been reading up on reserves because I'm not an expert at this. And of course, you know, 1P is proven, 2P is probable, and 3P is possible. So, you know, like I said, this is a milestone, not only the first company to do this, but now it shows commerciality there, which is a good sign. And I think what people are worried about, like I said, they saw the initial, you know, 3C, so contingent, 3 points, almost three, you know, TCF. And then they've looked at the lower figure there, the 1P, which are two different, completely different things, really. You know, one's commercial and the other's not, as yet. But I mean, it's important to say that you just said then, the hard bit isn't the increasing of the reserves, it's the initial sort of, you know, proven reserves, isn't it?
Correct. Well, I'll phrase it slightly differently. The really hard bit is getting the first reserves, and the less hard bit, you know, it all has its challenges.
Yeah.
But the risk for getting additional reserves after your reserve booking is greatly diminished, or significantly diminished after your first booking. And it's also, I think, worthwhile pointing out that with further work and assuming it all goes according to plan, which at this stage there's no reason why it shouldn't, but assuming it all goes according to plan, we should see a gradual migration of the C's to the P's. We should see a gradual increase in 3P, 2P and 1P with time and money and more work on the ground. So again, that's it's more of a process now, all else being equal, whereas making that first reserve booking is a really, really tough bit.
Yeah, okay. And does this mean different wells as well to add to that, or how does that work?
Oh, with time, the forward plan includes continual production testing at our current Salimo wells, and that will further lower the risk as long as the gas keeps on flowing and hopefully increases, which we expect or anticipate both to do. We'll then look at expanding the program with time, and we'll look at doing that by either partnering or that could either be in the downstream or the upstream or such like, Justin.
Yeah, and as far as you're concerned, is this going to plan? Is it in keeping with previous projects you've worked on?
Absolutely going to plan. It took a little bit longer to get the first reserves, but I think that is, as previously articulated, that was really a function of being the first ones to do it in an entire country or an entire region, I might add. And as far as going according to plan, the environmental approval in this particular case, this particular time round, was almost as big, if not as big, as actually booking reserves, because the environmental side has become a lot tougher over the last 5 or 10 years since my previous successes, and one could argue rightly so. And we always endeavour to do things to the highest level of highest standards and worldwide expectations in terms of environmental. The Botswanan government takes the environmental side extremely seriously, again, as it should. And the regulations are very tough, but we've worked through it in a very logical, methodological manner. And we have achieved, mind you, again, it took some time because of the stringent conditions that now apply to those sorts of regulations. And that took about 2.5 years, maybe even a touch longer, Justin. So achieving the environmental approval really is just as significant as achieving reserves. And reserves in themselves, if you can't, if you're not allowed to produce it and turn it into money, well, it doesn't mean much. But with the environmental approval, it means we can now go forward and ultimately go into production.
Yeah, and I know you just mentioned their previous, companies, and I would advise people to look into your background, because it is, an amazing sort of track record you've got there, taking, sub sort of 20 million market cap companies to selling to over a billion, multiples of a billion in some cases. Okay, so the next question, I think it's quite easy for you, Tony. It says, do you feel the company is significantly undervalued given the positivity of last week's RNS?
Of course, the answer is, in my opinion, absolutely. And again, that's a function of all I said previously, and again, just to very briefly reiterate it, it's reserves, the initial reserves booking, it's the fact that we have the environmental approval, there's not many shares out there, we're the leaders in the country, we're a long way ahead of the competition, and all of that together, I think, plus some other positive points, are really make us, in my opinion, undervalued. Now, of course, that's a relative thing, but if we look at the various piece of research which we've seen that have also come out on Talao, even heavily discounted, the prices or projected prices tend to be much higher than where we are now. So it's interesting that we didn't go up further with the reserve announcement in particular. And this has happened before. This is not the first time I've observed this type of market phenomenon. And in this case, it's as much, I believe, was an expected milestone, and often markets do the opposite to what you expect. And I think the psychology behind that is, well, they say, well, you've achieved that milestone, well, what's next? And maybe there's going to be some time before some additional good news. So a lot of people then decide to take hopefully profits in brackets rather and park their cash for a while and come in later. So I think all of that combines to see that that the share price hasn't really gone up since our announcement, but I'm very confident that with further good news, which we of course always are working very hard to deliver on, and all else being equal, that should turn around in hopefully not the too much distant future.
Yeah.
Distant future.
Well, do you know what? I posted a chart the other day on the drop in the price, and I said, we'll probably look back on a time when this was an opportunity here, and the share price did rise the next day, so it was short-lived than I thought. But, okay, the next question is, whilst Talao are the most advanced CBM company in Botswana, there must be a lot of other companies trying to emulate what you're doing. What is the risk from your competitors? Who are the main players, and how did Talao stay ahead of the rest?
Well, interestingly enough, in my previous company in Australia, Sunshine Gas, we genuinely had about three or four direct competitors, but the market was such, it was large enough and the opportunity was great enough that I didn't really view them as competitors. They were more similar companies in the same space doing a similar thing. And as we saw, each one of those became incredibly successful on the back of a growing energy demand, in turn on the back of the creation of the new reserves that in Queensland and Australia didn't have prior to that phase. So how that compares and contrasts with Botswana and what we're doing in Botswana is that we don't really have any serious competitors in Botswana. From day one, we've been fairly unique, and that's actually taken us a little while to get real traction with the market and to get the opportunity going, because when you're with some of the larger institutional investors, I might add, because when you're unique in a particular situation, there's nothing to really compare you against. So it's good to be the leader, but also when you're out front, I mean, whatever you're doing, whatever we're doing is the first ones to do it. So we're really beating the path for potentially for others. So a few others have tried and they've failed for various reasons, which again means we're even further out in front, and whatever we do is even more unique. But with the success we've had, particularly this year, it's really established confirmed our position as the leader. Of course, someone at a later date could always come in and acquire one of the smaller parties around with some acreage, assuming their land is still in good standing. And I don't think anyone's done much work on ground at all over the last 12 to 18 months, perhaps even 2 years, whereas we have. And of course, we all have commitments to do, and of course, if the others aren't doing their commitments, as would be the case if it were to apply to us, well, the areas become not in good standing. Now, our permits are in good standing, to the best of our knowledge, and with all the work we've done on the ground, we're up to date again from memory. So that compares and contrasts again with those others who are around. So someone could come along and always acquire one of those smaller players nearby and then get an acreage position, but they'd be up against two main hurdles. First of all, simply time in relation to drilling wells and booking reserves is at least a 2-year process. But before you can even drill wells now, you have to get that environmental approval. So that took us 2.5, maybe 3 years from when we very first started. So it's a minimum of 2 years, maybe 5 years for anyone to catch up, Justin.
Yeah, so I say you are the leader and you're way ahead there, you know, in time and money and regulatory approval. So, yeah, okay, so that's answered that. Okay, you've answered the next one. How does, I don't know if you want to add to this, but you've answered, sort of covered it. How does Tullow Energy compare with companies you've worked at in the past? And you've sort of you've answered that. Is the plan to sell Tullow Energy for a few billion dollars like you have done with previous companies?
Oh, I like the question. I like where the question's heading, of course, Justin, as we all do as shareholders. It's a function and a function of, and I find the best way to approach this is the objective is to create one, ideally several significant liquidity events for shareholders whereby the price is going up and the volume goes up. That means parties who are in for a while can buy and sell and make money. Brokers can buy and sell and make money. And that creates happy shareholders and an environment whereby people are getting a return on their investment before we even go into production or the like. Then there's ultimately, if we remain well and truly ahead of the competition and way out in front of the rest, and we're continuing to get results, which of course is the objective and what we're working hard on. Well, of course, the only way a larger, very, very much larger player with deep pockets can get involved would be to take over Tullow. And that's also perfectly acceptable as a significant liquidity event for shareholders. So we try to keep all of our options open, Justin, and in that way we're continuing to do the job of proving up with reserves and moving towards production. And as we do that, we're adding value, which should add liquidity and market cap and share price increases, you know, with swings and roundabouts, of course. Then ultimately, if someone gives us an offer, well, that's also very acceptable, all else being equal. So we keep all those options open.
Excellent. Okay. And question here is, you've mentioned, well, there's nobody competitors in your, it says there, can you compare in terms of monetary value to its peers with a market cap of 20 million? Can you compare yourself? And I don't know if that's possible, is it?
Well, in one of our presentations, I believe it's probably the most recent one on our website, there is a page on there that lists all the African competitors or the similar sort of CBM, listed CBM players, a little bit of a combination of African and also AIM listed. And one can see by that comparison or one could interpret from that comparison that we're reasonably valued, if not undervalued, and we should have a long way to a lot of upside to go. Again, all else being equal, and the beauty of where we sit, and for various reasons, I guess we're probably a little bit undervalued, and we need to spread the word a little bit more, which is part of our objective now. We have our environmental approval and our reserves statement out there. It's to promote the company more and to get more interest in the company, of course. I think some of that valuation then will start to change around. And when one looks at some of our peer group and the countries that they are in, and I think then one can also do some back-of-the-envelope potential profitability of their ventures, whether they have it 100% or not. And again, what we're doing in Botswana stacks up on many, many levels, and I think should be corrected with time in terms of our share price and hence our market cap and general appeal to the wider investment community, Justin.
Marvellous. And the last question, Tony, is what are the next major milestones for the company?
Well, we're working hard now on getting a production license as such, even though it's under the Mineral Act, called something referred to as not quite a production license, but effectively it means getting the approval to be able to sell gas, and that's well and truly something we're pushing along now. And the prime criteria, one of the prime criteria for the award of a production license, in inverted commas, is the environmental approval, which we've achieved. So that was a major milestone in terms of getting a production license. We'll also continue to test the Salimo production pod, and as that continues to produce and hopefully increases production, that all serves to lower the perceived risk on the project, which should help the reserve certifier become even more comfortable with the project. Of course, we'll be advancing the downstream side of the project, all of the aspects of the business that include the converting gas to electricity, the exact location of where we'll do that, the transport mechanism to get that electricity or the gas to the power station, then the poles and wires essentially that deliver the electricity from the power station into the best part of the network. And obviously also advancing various stages and aspects of the 50 megawatts of CBM gas-fired power generation that has come to Lau's way. So and of course there is one other key aspect, and that's also advancing discussions and the project in terms of a downstream partner. And we've announced that we have a downstream cooperation agreement with the GE and IKH, and obviously we'll be looking at furthering that as we go forward in the near term, Justin.
Marvellous. And last thing you need to do, Tony, at Vox Markets here, we have a page, your page, with the big follow button next to your name. And if people hit that follow button, they get the RNS sent straight to their phone whenever you release one. So can you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button, please, on your page on Vox Markets?
Well, in summary, we're the leading gas company, upstream gas company in Botswana, and therefore, in my opinion, all of Southern Africa. We 100% own our property and therefore our project, so we're in control of our own destiny. And I think the last point will be that we're uniquely placed to take full advantage for the benefit of our shareholders of the very tight and indeed growing electricity market in Southern Africa. Justin.
Marvellous. Tony, lovely to speak to you as always, and hopefully we'll speak again very soon when you come across, or even before, come across one of those next milestones. Speak soon.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ed Dawson, CEO of Managing Director of Prospects Oil and Gas. That's PXOG ticker. Ed, thank you for coming back on.
Well, thank you for inviting me again.
That's all right. Well, you've got some nice news out today. We'll cover that in a bit. But for people unaware of what you're all about at Prospects, can you give us a sort of summary, Ed, as to what the business is about?
Yes, we're an AIM investment company specializing in oil and gas investments. The management team have been together through three companies, and this is the first time that we've in the private arena. So we've had some success. Our first investment is in a company called Hutton Poland that is drilling a well this quarter. And today we've updated the market on timings of that and given a bit more detail.
Yeah, so you're saying that the well pad construction will commence in the week commencing 9th of November? That's not far off now, is it?
Yeah, you know, we're very excited. It's we had a schedule that we mapped out in the spring of this year with a view to, you know, drilling the well, and it's happening. Yeah, very much so. So we're, excited that we'd be able to deliver it, you know, on schedule, and we're up and running.
Yeah, it must be exciting. One of the things is, like you say, you talked about, you planned, and all of a sudden now, you know, it's there. You've got a firm date, 7th of November, it's there. You're saying that it'll take, the pad will take 14 days to complete. In addition, long lead items have been ordered and will be delivered. And I quite like this bit of tech here. Among these items is a Skytop TR-800 drilling rig, and which is more powerful than the Cooper LTO-550. I know nothing about that, but I do like that. So why is there a more powerful rig? Any reason for this?
No, simply it suited the drilling contractor, Xcello, who have a number of rigs. It worked better in their schedule, and it suits us to a certain extent. It's a bigger, more powerful rig. I mean, it can drill, I think, down to 3,200 metres. I mean, our depth, our target depth hasn't changed on that. But, you know, it'll... I suppose it'll chug along at a sense of speed as opposed to revving, you know, it's a 3.2 litre engine as opposed to a 1 litre engine if you think about it in a car term. So it's good.
Yeah, I've just Googled a picture of that rig, and it's a nice looking rig as far as the rigs are. I quite like that. So also quite important in here, we've got some figures, you know, just a recap on the figures there. I mean, do you have them on top of your head, Ed, or should I go through them?
Yeah, I think we've always, you know, highlighted that we have a CPR. We're one of the few companies that have published the CPR in full. Encourage, you know, the other techies out there, to go and read it, go and look at it. I was pleased with the work that was involved in that, but it gives us a mid case of 87 BCF, and it looked at the economics of the project. So they've the CPR writers have put a net present value range of 35 to 77 million pounds net to the company on it. So, you know, if the well is successful, it comes in, it's very meaningful for the shareholders.
Yeah, well, even at the lower end, like you said, at 35 million there, you know, I mean, if you look at the market cap right here, you know, you are 7 million. And you're saying between, you know, 3,333 to 6,666 barrels of oil per day from a single well. It's all looking good, isn't it? So, I mean, where are you at the moment? Will you be planning, obviously, to go over to Poland during the drill?
Oh, yeah. I think I'll probably be out there just in a couple of weeks to congratulate the team on the ground for delivering on schedule and doing a good job, but also, you know, to be out there and have a look at least. I won't be driving the digger.
No, I'd be tempted to have a go. Listen, so, Ed, is there any news we can expect now before the actual pad is built?
Well, the environmental permit is the last piece in what I call the paperwork jigsaw. Mm-hmm. That enables us to is known as Plan Ruku, and to submit and have that approved. That plan is simplistically it's the project binder. It's we've got all the permits in, it's got the well plan, it's got the health and safety plan in there and things like that, and that will be signed off by the Ministry of Mining, and that's the last piece of paperwork. And then obviously I think that's an important little step to continue, and then it's the local paperwork done, and then it's get on with it.
So it's all action. Yes, hands to the drill. Yeah. Okay, marvelous stuff. Well, Ed, it's good to hear. It's things are progressing as planned as you set out there. But for if anyone needs any more convincing, to hit that follow button on your Vox Markets page. Can you give us sort of three bulleted points as to why they should do that, please?
Yeah. There is action in our company, as we know. There's the well coming up. Once spudded, it's going to take 30 days. We've demonstrated so far through our past companies that we have a history of achievement. I'd like to think delivering even this well program on time is, again, good for the industry. We're looking at other investments. We're looking to build. So.
Marvellous. That's an exciting point three there. I quite like that. Okay, Ed, thank you very much for coming back on, and hopefully speak again soon.
Okay, well, thank you. Good day.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at number five. It's risen strongly over the last few days. Wow. Mercom Capital, MCC. At four on yesterday, Paul Morphew, CEO, Management Resource Solutions. Management Resource Solutions. Mrs. is the ticker. MRS. At three, cracking R&S out today. And I think they're up by 30-odd% last time I looked. Highland Natural Resources, HNR. At two, 88 Energy, one of the most followed companies of all time. And at one, it was in the top five yesterday, but it wasn't number one, is Gulf Keystone Petroleum, GKP. All right, time to move on to the top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. They are at 5, Advanced Oncotherapy AVO, Harley Street Planning Permission granted. At 4, Codal Minerals, KOD, COD, or COD, update on Codal Project. At 3, Highland Natural Resources, DT Ultravert testing update. At 2, MXO, MX Oil, update on Nigerian investment. And at number 1, guest on the podcast today, Ed from Prospect Oil and Gas. So that got the most likes on the website today. That's the government approval for the onshore Poland well. Okay, it's time for a same time for. I don't know why I said it like this. It's time for today's suggested one for your watch list. That's Forbidden Technology, FBT, submitted by the Fifth Wise Monkey. What does the company do? It's a cloud-based provider of video editing solutions. Its unique technology means it is the only truly comprehensive player with a cloud-based platform. So FBT have three product offerings. One, Forescene, a cloud-based post-production platform for professionals. At two, Captivate, an online video editor for the consumer market. And three, Eva, a social network, a video social network. And do you know what? The Fifth Wise Monkey. This is good research. I've looked through this. It's very good. And this is what this feature is all about. And I congratulate you for putting this in there. Because, I've had Forbidden Technologies on the podcast a couple of times. But it's nice to break it down like that. Three offerings. And it's well presented. That's what I like. So if you know of a company, by the way, that you think should be on other people's watch lists, click the form. You click the link. Take you to the form. Fill this in. And I'll read it out. Okay, continuing with FBT. How many shares does the company have an issue? 150 million. What's the current price of market cap? It's 12.625 pence. Market cap, 19 million. What revenue and profit or loss does the company generate? For the 6 months ended the 30th of June 2016, invoice sales, 445,000. Revenues, 327,000. Deferred revenue, 150,000. Operating costs, 1.3 million. EBITDA loss of 1 million. And operating cash flow of 965,000. How much cash or debt does the company have? No debt. 1.2 million received. This is cash from the issue of shares at 7 pence in May. So cash in bank on the 30th of June is 1.8 million. There's three reasons why people should put this company on the Vox Markets watch list. Number one, patent protection provides a nearly insurmountable competitive advantage. Two, potentially a takeover target. The big players are Avid, Adobe, and Apple. All could materially gain from a JV or takeover. If one made a move, could spark off a bidding war. And three, a new aggressive focus towards marketing, sales, and distribution could dramatically increase revenues and profitability. So that's Forbidden Technologies, FBT, submitted by the Fifth Wise Monkey. Thank you very much for that. Very good submission there. One of the best we've had, I think. So if you know of one, please go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Look for one of my blog posts of Vox Podcast. Click in there, scroll down, and you'll see where I say, do you know of a stock with potential? Click this link here and fill in the form. And I'll feature it on a future podcast. Much as appreciatus. Thanks for listening.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.